This is FMR.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon, welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. There's an exciting new production coming to the Theatre on the Bay from the 22nd of May. It's called André Schwarz's Any Dream Will Do, Mais Pat Met Weber. And it's described as exploring his relationship with all that is Andrew Lloyd Webber since encountering his work for the first time at the age of 12 when he saw Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So, André, it's good to welcome you here. What a lovely show to do. Are you all on your own, or how does it work?
Lovely being here. Thank you so much. So I have a brilliant pianist, David Boverhoff. Then I think the country's probably the best guitarist, Moritz Lutz. You know, Moritz has been nominated for a Grammy, and he's been a Grammy judge for 8 years. Okay. And they are just incredibly supportive. You know, it's that kind of thing as a singer, you know what you want to do, and then it's so magnificent to have musicians, and they do something small, and it takes you in another direction.
Yeah.
So that's the synergy we experience.
But it's an interesting combination, guitar and piano.
So what I wanted to do, the Weber songs, they are so well known, and people have forgotten how good the lyrics are. They've actually forgotten the essence of the songs. So they hear a Weber song, they sit back and relax. Of course, my worst words in the theater, sit back and relax.
Why?
Because you shouldn't.
You should pay attention.
You should sit at the edge of your seat.
Right,
and that's
right.
What we're doing with these songs. We are stripping them to the bare minimum, and they become narratives with a melody line supporting the narrative. So it's a complete sort of spin around from what you would normally get from a Weber song.
So the actual words of the song are now going to be the kingpin of the evening, the words, the lyrics.
Totally. It's part of the storytelling and the narrative that we – and this is – I mean, I've done it at festivals and stuff, and it really classifies – as not review but musical theatre because of that.
Mm-hmm. The arrangement, this fascinates me, the piano and guitar. Who did the arrangements? Because they are such beautiful songs, aren't they? All of them.
Yeah, they're amazing. So the original arranger is Brian Schimmel.
Yes. Then you're in good hands.
Oh, Brian is just, he's next level. He's wonderful to work with. So Brian did the original arrangements. He's simply not playing now because of a logistics thing. I mean, David is here, and he has played the show a few times for me.
Okay.
And he's great.
Has the show come down from Monte Cassino, or is it opening in Cape Town?
It's opening in Cape Town.
Ah.
It's gone to festivals, and it's performed at a few places in the country. And then we'll find a slot in Monte and just fill it and have fun.
Yeah. But it's so nice to know that you're still so busy, André, because just looking through some of your things, you're writing a lot, you're performing a lot, you're singing a lot.
It's actually crazy at the moment, and it's I think the nicest thing is that you reach a certain path in your life where I do not want to wait for anything to come in because a lot of stuff has, and I've just not been interested in doing it. So I'd rather create my own stuff.
Yeah, that you're comfortable doing and that you know you're good at.
Yes, and I love doing it. And the whole creative process of concept and writing and what the audience buys into. Because it's wonderful. You kind of – my audience has grown with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a compliment. And therefore, you write for that an audience that is more mature and that they want content. Leave with a message, not just with a feeling of a jaw.
Yes, exactly, a jaw.
Yeah.
I mean, because very often, like with Andrew Lloyd Webber, you're seeing the show in a big production with lights and sound and goodness knows what else and lots of distractions on the stage. And as you say, you are now focusing on these pieces and your audience will go with you, I'm sure.
So the nice thing is I'm using Webber as a vehicle, actually, from which to tell my own life story.
Oh, okay. So there is a narrative there as well.
Most certainly. And the analogy is, it started at Joseph, and that coat, we all have our coats of color. And we can decide how it shines, how the colors change. Some are ripped from you by crises in your life. And at other times, you find a way to get them back. Mm. And that's very much what the story is about. And the most important thing, and that's why it's called Any Dream Will Do, because the show is written in such a way that reality and dreams are so blurred that you actually, as an audience member, you're not going to know which is which.
Yeah.
And that's a big point of the show, is that we cannot stop dreaming.
It's interesting that you use the coat analogy like that. And I saw that your mother, who's apparently had a substantial influence on your life, is quoted as saying, "Weave your coat and create a tapestry of colors. Let it shine as brightly as you want it to. Dream whatever you want, even if dreams and reality become indistinguishable. You decide your own truth, but always remember your way home."
Yes.
What a lovely thing for her to have said.
My mother was remarkable. She just got that. She just knew and lived her life that we all are woven from different colors and textures and textiles and whatever, and that makes us unique.
Mm.
And she embraced that. And I was very fortunate. You know, I lost my dad when I was 13, so it was just mom and I. I'm an only child. To have had a mother like that, gave me that freedom.
Is she still alive?
No, she died 2 years ago.
But at least she saw that you had this amazing career.
Oh, yes, and she was very supportive of it. And she would be the one to say that, "I think it's time for something new," or "When are you going to do that?" And of course, my biggest crit. I mean, I'd walk off stage and she'd go, "What was that?" Or just before I walk on, she said, "Didn't you bring other clothes?"
Really?
You think, I can't do anything about this now.
But all done with love and support.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's just, you know, she was just there.
What a lovely aspect of your life. I'm glad we're talking about it. Your mother being such an influence and being such a support.
You know, she was of the school that we have so much ability to heal ourselves. And I've had health shocks and all of those kind of things. And the way she's just handled them, and even my mother always used to say, if she's depressed, she has a chocolate and she goes to the movies and then she feels better.
How sensible.
Exactly. So she really taught me that when things spiral, you know, how to bring them back in, how to internalize and then take it from there. And it's a wonderful lesson.
Now, Andre, I'm intrigued to know what music you've chosen. And
First
of all, one of the great hits, Memory, from Cats, Nicole Scherzinger. Tell us about what we're going to hear.
So, I think she has been one of the most underrated, I think, singers, because I like the way she does Memory. She also tells the story. I really believe that I'm tired of people just singing pretty notes. If you're a singer, it's a given that you are going to be able to sing. So let me know what you're thinking. I want to know what's happening behind your eyes. And she has that ability. And I mean, she's just won every Olivia Award now for Sunset Boulevard.
Wow.
And it kind of shows in this version. So I also do a version of Memory, of course I will. And it's so nice to take some of the female songs and be allowed to sing them in context. And my memory starts as a song that you talk about those days, and then it develops into a piece of music.
I can smile at the old
Well, that certainly is a memorable song, Memory from Cats, Andrew Lloyd Webber's memorable song there, and sung by Nicole Scherzinger, and it was the first choice of my guest on this week's edition of People of Note, Andre Schwartz, whose new show is called Any Dream Will Do, May Putt Met Webber, all about Andrew Lloyd Webber and his songs. And as you said, Andre, as a male singer, there must be some songs that you think, damn, I wish we were allowed to sing that. And so you'll be singing this in the show.
Yes.
Memory.
Totally. And the other two that I'm thinking of now is Take That Look Off Your Face and I Don't Know How to Love Him.
From Jesus Christ Superstar, yes. Is that in your show as well?
They're also in the show, you know, that are traditional female singers.
Yeah.
I Don't Know How to Love Him comes from the weirdest experience. I sang Jesus Christ Superstar with the Cape Town Symphony Orchestra when it was still banned. And we could do it as concert versions. And we did it at Libertas for a week or something. And I'm giving a show story away. But in any case, I had a call then from an amateur company and they were allowed to do it. And the guy who played their Jesus was going to get married on the weekend. That was stuck. And I was the only person in the country that knew the role. And I thought, you know, it couldn't be that bad, and it was absolutely appalling. But the crucifixion scene was a total nightmare. They had this massive cross with a footrest and so on, and in the most sensitive moment of the crucifixion, the footplate broke.
Oh, my goodness.
And there it went with a bang and a clutter, and I was hanging, and yeah, the rest
you can hear. In a live performance?
In a live performance, the rest you can hear in the show. So, okay. So that links to I Don't Know How to Love It.
Just about the show, Andre, you mentioned you've got piano and guitar accompanying you. What about the set and lighting and all that? Is that all looked after?
It is as minimalist as possible.
Oh, again, you're wanting to concentrate on the words, aren't
totally,
you?
Totally.
Not on a flashy set.
Totally. There's a very colourful bar stool, piano stool, and a little guitar stool. That's it. It's about colour. And as the colours in my life changes, I manually just would turn a chair or something like that.
Okay.
Just as simple as possible.
And then what do you wear?
I wear, it's the funniest thing, I wear a jacket that I've had in my cupboard for about 25 years that was made by the boys. I mean, they were very popular in Joburg years ago.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just kept that jacket, and I've never had the opportunity to wear it again, so I'm wearing that with colourful shoes. And
okay.
Yeah, so
do you change at all in your outfit, or you stay the same throughout?
No, the show just is a continuation of storytelling.
Okay. And so also, there must be an intimate quality to it as well, due to the show.
Very much so. I mean, it really goes so small in terms of storytelling. But very often songs, the one song that I really, and I mean all the crits have mentioned it because it's never done like that, is Pia Yesu, just vocal and the guitar. And it's tiny,
you know.
So delicate. And with Moritz just having this impeccable good taste as a guitarist.
Yeah,
it's lovely
yeah.
to do it like that.
And again, one associates Pierre Yesu with either a soprano or a boy soprano, doesn't one? Not
exactly.
Not with, you're a tenor baritone, aren't you?
I'm a tenor, some days a baritone, and there's some mornings that I'm an absolute bass. So, yes.
So we can expect all things on
exactly.
stage. So, one of the things I also wanted, we were talking about your mother slightly earlier and how she used to come to your shows. Was she the one that took you to see Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat all those years ago?
It actually was.
When you were 12?
Yes. So it was, she took me, it was actually my choice because I had heard, you know, we very often wonder where did we hear all of these things, but it must have been radio.
It must have been radio.
And
in those days, yes.
Yes. And Bruce Miller then had a hit song, I Won't Give Up.
That's right.
And he was playing in Joseph. And I thought, gosh, this guy with that song, I want to hear him in this musical. I had no idea. And I asked my mom and dad if we could go. My dad loved musicals and operetta mostly. And he was a massive Gijs Korsten fan.
Yes.
And anything that Gijs Korsten was in, we went to see. And what was interesting is that at the age of 13, this is after dad had passed, I sang in a television program called Kreines. And the guest that night was Gijs Korsten. And I met Gijs as a little boy. And I remember looking at him, and I couldn't believe that sound can come out of a mouth. And it was that day that I decided I wanted to sing. And I was so honored years later to be able to share a stage with Gijs. And, of course, so intimidated, Rodney, you can imagine.
Okay. And he was so tall. He was the perfect sort of romantic lead as well in all those operas, let alone the musicals he did.
Totally. And such, he had such a presence. I mean, yes, Gijs really did.
And
I mean,
a wonderful voice.
Oh, him and Rina Hiku did a lot of shows. And there's a beautiful story about Gijs. A lady came to them after the show and gave them money in cash. And Gijs said to her, thank you so much, but would you please go and find an envelope and put it in there, write my name on it, and then bring the money. There was a right way to do stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's have another piece of music, Andre, and here we're going to hear you and that famous song from Phantom of the Opera, Music of the Night. Now, it's so well known. Is there anything you want to tell us about it? And when was this recorded and all that sort of thing?
This was recorded about, I think, 12 years ago. About 12 years ago. I did a whole musicals CD. And I just thought, why not play my own version of it?
Because of course you
that's
must.
What. So what people are also going to hear is far more stripped down version of Music of the Night. Mm-hmm. But of course, I mean, the song, it is, has become as popular as, or as associated with me as much as any of the my Afrikaans songs or the songs that I've written. So I have to do it. And I love the song.
Let me just tell you that it's my favorite Andrew Lloyd Webber song of all of them, which is quite a thing to say because there are so many beautiful songs. But this one also has the most beautiful words. And now we're going to hear the words, aren't we, when you do it?
Totally. Totally. Once again, stripped.
Okay, here's the unstripped version.
Yes.
Night time sharpens, heightens each sensation, darkness stirs and wakes imagination, silently the senses abandon their defenses. Slowly, gently, night unfurls its splendor, grasp it, sense it, tremulous and tender. Turn your face away from the garish light of day, turn your thoughts away from cold and feeling light, and listen to the music of the night. Close your eyes and surrender to your darkest dreams. Purge your thoughts of the life you knew before. And you live as you've never lived before. Softly, deftly, music shall caress you. Hear it, feel it, secretly possess you. Open up your mind, let your fantasies unwind in this darkness which you know you cannot fight. The darkness of the music of the night. Let your mind start to journey through a strange new world. Live all thoughts of the world you knew before. Let your soul take you where you long to be. Only then can you belong to me. Floating, falling, sweet intoxication. Touch me, trust me, savor each sensation. Let the dream begin, let your darkest side give in. Power of
That has got to be one of the great songs from the world of musicals. Music of the Night by Andrew Lloyd Webber from Phantom of the Opera, sung by my guest on People of Note this week, Andre Schwartz, whose show Any Dream Will Do, May Put Met Webber, is on, will be on at the Theatre on the Bay from the 22nd of May. And it sounds fascinating. But just talking about the Afrikaans there, May Put Met Webber, you also mentioned just before we played that you have a lot of songs in Afrikaans, don't you? You work in English and Afrikaans as easily as anything.
Yes, totally. So I've recorded, I think, 17 or 18 albums and mostly in Afrikaans. Mm-hmm. I did a few English ones, the musicals. I did one with all the jazz standards and stuff. But I find I write more in Afrikaans. And I don't know for what reason, but the language sits with me. And I was very fortunate to grow up in a school and with teachers and educators and people who, and surrounded by friends whose parents had literally friends and stuff. So I learned to speak a good Afrikaans, and I love writing in it.
Is it your home language?
It is my home language, yes.
Right.
Yes.
I want to find out also about, you said that when you were 12 or 13 and heard Hay sing, you decided, I want to become a singer. What did you do about it? How did you become a singer?
Nice question. So I had piano lessons with that mom insisted on, and I mean, I just sang at school, as you did, and then I went to study at Stellenbosch. I did law, but I had singing lessons with Professor George van der Spay. And, I mean, he was just remarkable.
And,
I mean,
he has an amazing reputation, doesn't he, as a singer?
He was...
Teacher.
Yeah, he was astounding. So, I mean, I learned everything I know from him. And then at varsity, I did a lot of pop stuff. And I had the InterVarsity band. And, you know, we played all... I remember at Newlands, we had an InterVarsity thing against UCT. And I Want to Break Free was the big hit. And it was the first time in history that both sides sang the song together when we sang it. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it was wonderful. So, yeah. And then I did national service, and then I got my first musical in that time. I think it was the first time ever that happened. And then I started doing that, and then I got spotted by an Afrikaans record company. And, yeah, it just kind of happened.
Is your voice... Do you ever do opera, or do you do shows, musicals?
I do a mixture of musicals and obviously my Afrikaans songs and so on. But they've also changed in format. You know, they've also been taken away, stripped. But I'm definitely not, the voice is not good enough for opera anymore. You know, it's great for the musical stuff and so on, but because I'm telling stories.
Yes.
For the opera where you just need beautiful, pretty voice, I don't think it's good enough there anymore. So I'd rather stay clear. Yes.
Okay, there are
other guys who do it better, you know?
Yeah, no, fair enough.
And I always, you know, I think with opera, it is, I mean, I always feel sorry for opera singers. And I remember doing this stuff, and I love Lieder. And I just, you know, it is so difficult because people always compare them to so-and-so's version and this and that and this. So the bar is always so high for them. I often find it a little bit unfair.
They do have to work hard, don't they? And then can be torn apart so easily by the public and by critics who expect a Pavarotti or a Sutherland
exactly,
or something.
Exactly.
But you also, you write things as well, don't you? I mean, not just a song. Haven't you written musicals?
Well, this song is it's called musical theatre. I mean, it's got the definition. So I write, I suppose there are little musicals. You know, I've got another one that I've just finished that's opening in September, debuting at Art Club, and another one that's debuting in October at the Woordfeest. I'm crazy to have two openings within a week from each other. But I do write, yes. I love writing.
And you've written something with Kuni.
Yes,
so Grenzlos.
Yes, so Kuni and I have a show called Grenzlos.
This is Kuni de Villiers.
Yes, yes, right, right. Love Kuni, and we have two grand pianos that stand on the stage, and we just play these two pianos.
Oh, do you still play piano?
Yes, yes, but not Kuni's level. and the other person that I work with a lot is Amanda Strydom, and we have a Brel Piaf show in rep. So it's lovely having these things in rep and being able to put them around the country.
So you really are quite busy. I mean, it's not as though you're a struggling actor, singer. You're really quite busy.
I would be a struggling actor, singer if I didn't go out and create my own work. No, actually not. I'm very fortunate. I get offers, but I don't necessarily take them. part of this is also, you know, I was offered the role in Evita, and I was offered roles in Cats, and I turned them down in international touring productions simply because it's not a role I wanted to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it must be the worst thing to be stuck in something for months just because of the money.
Yes.
And you're not enjoying it. So I'd rather step back and create my own stuff, and hopefully people will like it.
The last time we spoke, Andre, was some years ago when you were playing Captain von Trapp.
Yes.
In the previous production by Peter Turin of The Sound of Music. I remember seeing you here at Artscape, and you seemed to enjoy that very much. I know it's not a big singing role, but nonetheless it has its moments.
What was good about that, it really stretched me as an actor. Because, you know, I just rely on singing. You know, it's so easy for me to do. Where the acting was like, please give me underscore or do something so it's easier.
Yeah.
So it did stretch me. But I think what I loved about The Sound of Music, I love the kids. And it's the wonderful thing is, I call them my theatre kids. They have now grown up, and they are fully fledged performers in theatres. The one boy, Shay Jean, he was now playing Rolf in The Sound of Music now.
Oh.
And he was my little boy of 10 years old.
Interesting.
So I love seeing the theatre kids. And it's a funny thing, you spot them then already.
Mm-hmm.
You know which ones are going to go there.
Yeah. Did you see this latest production?
Yes, I did. I loved it.
Yeah. Gosh, it was amazing.
Absolutely loved it.
Amazing. Now, look, we need another song. And here we have Maria Callas. So
yes.
You're stepping into the world of opera here.
So to me, there's Callas. Oh, you're probably going to get a lot of people. There's Callas, and then there are other sopranos.
Many, many people will agree with you, so don't worry.
Yeah, so once again, to me, it lies in the storytelling, in the acting, in the being in the moment. I really am not the kind of listener. You know, you get these, and a lot of musical people and a lot of opera people would judge an opera singer just for the big note at the end. Absolute nonsense. It's what happens before that. Give me the softest note and show me what you can do with that. And that really moves me. So that's where my sentiment lies in opera. And when I grew up, my cousin, who's 10 years older than me, was also my piano teacher. And he had a great love of opera. And, of course, Maria Callas. And I just think she is still the definitive storytelling soprano.
Thank you.
the inimitable voice of Maria Callas there with that famous aria from La Vallée. And it was another choice of my guest on this week's edition of People of Note. His name, André Schwartz. Watch out for his show, Any Dream Will Do, May Pat Met Weber, which is going to open at the Theatre on the Bay on the 26th of May. Has a fairly short run, doesn't it, André?
It is.
4 days.
Literally. I think it's 5 shows in 4 days. So, okay. Yeah, people must
book.
Yes, totally.
And go and enjoy an evening, as you've been hearing, of these glorious songs. But I want to just find out, I saw somewhere you lived on a farm in the cradle of humankind. But first of all, where were you born?
I was born in Johannesburg.
Oh,
born in Johannesburg, studied at Stellenbosch, and then moved back to Johannesburg.
Because I also read somewhere that you've got a soft spot for Cape Town because of your Stellenbosch days.
Oh, most certainly. I love Cape Town. I bought a little apartment here a while ago. I can't call it an apartment. It's a broom cupboard. I have got a foot in Cape Town as well. And then, of course, in Johannesburg.
And that's where you can stay when you come here to do a show.
Well, I normally stay with a very dear friend of mine. I let it out.
Oh, no, okay. How come you ended up on a farm in the cradle of humankind for over 60 years?
So I was scrolling through a property section and this beautiful farm, and it really was a beautiful farm, just popped up, and I looked at it and I thought, this is really gorgeous. And I was staying in Saxonwold at that time, and I drove through and 4 kilometers dirt road, and I thought, are you mad? And I stopped at the farm, and it had these big gates, and they opened. And I looked at this place, and I thought, I didn't even see the house. When I stopped, and there's this magnificent kopje in front of it, and it's just, I just knew I'm going to move here. And I walked in, walked through the house, loved the people. They'd lived there for 20 years. And I took my friends, and they were all moaning on the way. They are, you mad, you crazy. And when they saw the place, they were all, we fully understand. Eventually, I had to lie to people and tell them that I'm not on the farm on the weekend because it was packed with people constantly because there was so much accommodation.
Yeah.
And I had a wonderful time there. For 6.5 years, I had my rescue horses, I had a pet pig, I had the dogs, and what I do miss the horses sometimes, but I really miss the quiet, you know, it is,
yes.
And the stars.
Yes.
I was at the Klankaroo Arts Festival again and this year, and I stayed outside town. And just looking at the stars again, and I was so used to it, and the sunset, and the nightjars, and the jackals. Those things I miss, but it's wonderful being back in the city.
What made you go back to Johannesburg?
It was time.
Oh, okay.
It was literally, you know, sometimes you just feel this was great, but it's enough now. I want to be back in time. And I actually took a video of myself with those beautiful gates closing for the last time.
Oh.
And I had so much peace. I just, they closed and I knew I'm doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fortunate that one could do that.
Yes. Did it not affect your career when you were on the farm or not? I mean, you weren't finding that you were not asked to do things because you were too far away.
Good question. There were times, you know, that you would think, I'm not going to drive into town an hour and a half for a meeting. And I still then had a marketing company. I had 5 garages that I transformed into offices. I had a marketing company for 14 years. At the farm. And I was still working from there with a marketing company, and then I closed it down. It was actually an active business place as well where people drove to come and work. It was bizarre.
But it also sounds lovely and probably did you a whole lot of good spiritually.
A difficult time in my life when I got diagnosed with motor neuron disease, and I was then living on the farm, and I couldn't think of a better place to be than right there.
I was just going to say, with something like that, you do need to be in a space that you can feel absolutely at home and relaxed.
Totally, and that's why I closed my marketing company. I simply closed it because I couldn't. There's so much things about a disease, and the best is to work holistically. And if you're going to be under stress, this thing is going to be worse.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a perfect place to be,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was destined.
And you've come to terms with it.
Yes, I'm doing so remarkably well. I get very often, I suppose I'm supposed to be either in a wheelchair now or actually dead in terms of what was predicted. Uh-huh. I was in a drip for 2 years just after I got diagnosed, which was not fun, but I think that helped me. And I really discuss in depth the process of shock, depression, and changing your life around after something like that. Mm. So in this Pat Mitweber show, I really go in detail about that.
But do you in the show as well?
I do in the show because it's really uplifting for me, and I find it for the audience. And it also relates to the colors of my coat.
Ah, yes,
and the tapestry,
yes, yes.
You know, and how it adjusts and then how you get it back to be colorful again.
Just seeing you sitting here, there's no sign for me that you've got a disease like that, because very often, and I've known a few people with that disease, apart from Joost van der Westhuizen,
yes,
who was very high profile.
He was a very good friend.
Oh, was he?
He was a very good friend, yes.
Oh.
So I've lost 2/3 of my tongue. I mean, that's gone. You would never know.
No, absolutely not.
We had problems. The right vocal cord started getting paralyzed. We worked on that with some surgery, and they, you know, you just carry on.
My goodness. So you can still sing. That's the important thing.
And the wonderful thing, I now have an excuse when I sing out of tune.
Or crack a note.
Exactly.
That's true, actually. Let's have another song. Jason Donovan, Any Dream Will Do. Ah, I thought this might come up.
Yeah, I have to put it in there. It's not my kind of version, and it's not the kind of one that I would do, but it's the one that everybody knows. And how can you not play it?
The world in eye.
Jason Donovan, that certainly was one of the big early hits of Andrew Lloyd Webber, Any Dream Will Do, from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Another choice of my guest, I'm talking to Andre Schwartz, and his show is called Any Dream Will Do, May Pat Met Webber. Now, there are a couple of things I want to ask you quickly, because time always races when you're having fun, they say. I see that you completed a life coaching diploma. Why did you do that?
Just simply because of all the experiences that I've gone through in life. And it was something that's always I was always interested in. And I decided, let's make it formal. And it's nice. I went through the International Coaching Federation, which means I can coach anywhere in the world. So should I at one stage stop singing, it'll be a wonderful career. And I have two coaching clients. I simply don't have the time. I'm too busy. And it's wonderful where their journey has gone. And it's
guided by you.
Well, it's all within them.
So what about the other thing? You're now doing singing masterclasses as well.
Yes, so we're starting them. Myself, Dion Mayer and Kuni are starting a thing in Craddock in June, and then I'm going to carry on with the masterclasses simply to teach the fact that don't worry about the singing. Tell me the story, and if you're a good enough singer, it's a given. Yes. And that's where I'm definitely not going to teach Do-Re-Mi. I will only teach people who are on a certain level of a career or wanting a certain career that has had a certain education in music.
To polish them up a bit.
Well, hopefully to bring something to their interpretation and understanding of what they're busy with.
Yeah. I see also, Andre, the farm doesn't seem to have left you, because I read that you've got an amazing garden in your heart and home, as well as three dogs.
Yes, I have. I was so lucky. I found a small home in a massive garden. It's an acre. And the lady that lived there before me, she stayed there for 40 years.
Ooh.
And her thing was gardening. And her garden was part of the Joburg garden route, where people would go and look at gardens. So I have this magnificent garden that is so much work.
It's good to say, do you have to look after it?
Exactly, yes, I have to look after it. So, but I've got a wonderful guy called Charles who does all the gardening. And I absolutely love it. So I'm very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. And your dogs as well.
Yes.
Three, not two or one.
Three, and my favorite is my three-legged Lucia, who's an absolute bitch. She she really is. She hates other dogs in her space. She attacks them. She has got hardly any teeth left, but she's really a real bitch.
You know what, Andre, you sound like a very happy man.
I am indeed.
As you say, life has dealt you a few blows that you're dealing with, but you still can sing, you still can perform, and you get the essence of these words out and across, which is apparently all about this show that you're doing now. So remember, it's called Any Dream Will Do, May Pat Met Webber, starring Andre Schwartz, running at the Theatre on the Bay from the 22nd to the 26th of May. Only five performances, so get along and book. So what are you going to let us hear as you drift out the studio?
So it is Laura Fabian, Je Suis Malade, and why I've chosen her, I think, well, she's not that young anymore, but I think she is the best contemporary singer in the world at the moment.
Wow,
for
that's
me.
Quite a thing. Okay.
And this is a live performance, and once again, she's telling a story, but with an exquisite vocal.
Andre Schwartz, thank you, and all the best for your run.
Thank you, and thanks for the chat. It was lovely.
Ma vie, c'est ce corps. n'ai plus de vie, et même mon lit se transforme en cas de gare. Quand tu t'en vas, je suis malade, complètement malade. Congo, ma mère sortait le soir et qu'elle me laissait seule avec mon désespoir. Je suis comme un rocher, comme un péché. Je suis accrochée à toi, je suis fatiguée, je suis épuisée de faire semblant d'être heureuse. Quand ils sont là, je bois toutes les nuits et tous les whisky pour moi ont le même goût. Et tous les bateaux porte ton drapeau, je ne sais plus où aller, tu es partout. Je suis malade, complètement malade. Je verse mon sang dans ton corps et je suis comme un oiseau mort. Quand tout avant ta peau, cet amour m'a tu. Si ça continue, je crèverai seule avec moi, près de ma radio, comme un gosse idiot, en écoutant ma propre voix qui chantera. Je suis malade, complètement malade, comme quand ma mère sortait le soir et qu'elle me laissait seule avec mon désespoir. Je suis
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
This is FMR.